This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Geeks Out on Joy 94.9. You can hear the show live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Or you can check out our podcasts at joy.org.au/geeksout.
Recently, Shudder has released the movie called Spiral, which is not the sequel to the Saw franchise. It's a different movie with the same title. But in this film, a same-sex couple move to a small town to enjoy a better life and raise their daughter with strong social values. But when neighbors throw a very strange party, nothing is as it seems in their picturesque neighborhood. Nice pronunciation there, Clayton. It is directed by Curtis David Harder, who has done quite a few other writing work for Shudder, also by Colin Minahan and John Poliquin. All three of them actually basically write, direct, and work on each other's work. So they all take turns directing, and they kind of do the writing job. So they all kind of work together, which is nice.
Were they involved in Us? Was it Us?
I'm not sure, actually. I'm going to have to let you research that. It stars Jeffrey Bauer Chapman, who you might know if you watch Canada's drag race. He is a guest judge on that quite often. And also Ari Cohen, who's the type of face that you know from lots of other things. Lachlan Moron. I can't think of how to say his last name. He's also a face that you will definitely recognise. For this film, I'm going to start off, if you don't mind. I thought that it captures the technology of the mid-90s really well, from the big chunky scanner, the boxy computer, the CDs, and the CD player even. And it was just exactly what my 90s life was like, basically. Was yours pretty similar?
Yeah, I love it. In the first scene, the headsets are brought out, like with the and I was just like, oh my God, that is so cool.
I think it did it perfectly. Not necessarily the rest of the environment didn't have a great 90s feel, but...
Interesting. The housing, and it did have a very 90s feel, because that really avant-garde Baroque house, which is really... has sort of really structured work around it. My family had friends who had houses like that.
Well, that's good to know.
I
grew up in houses that were built a little bit earlier than the 90s, so I didn't get any of that style. So I was really impressed by Jeffrey Bauer Chapman, who doesn't have a lot of acting credits to his name, but I think he did a really great job in this. He was kind of perfect for the role, and I was really happy that we had a gay man playing the lead character, because I think I would have been very annoyed if that character was played by a straight person just by the mannerisms he displays. They're a little stereotypical, but because there's a gay man playing it, I actually can handle it. If it's a straight man playing the stereotype, it's not fun for me. How did you feel about his performance?
No, I thought it was, it was really hard it was at some points over the top, because he was the New York and gay kind of thing. The difference between the type of gay between the couple was very, like, almost driven home a little bit too much at some points, especially, when they do some flashbacks sort of talking and things like that, memory talking about how they lived. But, yeah, I was more comfortable with the fact that it was a gay man already kind of thing, and they weren't taking the piss, they weren't stereotyping. It was what the characters were in the 90s.
Ari Cohen is not a gay man, and he played the character a lot more straight than Jeffrey did, which it kind of works, because Ari Cohen's character, Aaron, has a lot easier time connecting with the neighbours, which is a lot harder for Jeffrey Bowen Chapman's character of Malik. The script was pretty good. I thought it was actually probably one of the better gay horror movies that I've actually seen, because a lot of gay horror tends to be not great written, but I actually thought this worked pretty well. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think especially as it's really funny, as you keep describing, I'm trying to get the context of it. There was the themes, there was some, as we've spoken about off radio, the gay theme throughout it. But I think as a horror, it stands on its own as that small town horror impact, very much so.
I did find it a bit hard to confirm who is actually queer in the making of this film. Certainly the lead actor, as I've said. One of the writers, I believe, is, but it's not. I haven't actually been able to find explicitly to say he's gay, but looking at his Facebook and stuff, it does seem to give that impression. I am glad that there was some queer people involved in the making of this story, because it's not the type of story I want straight filmmakers making, because of the trigger warning which I'm about to give, which does show graphic hate crimes and some trauma words and stuff. I actually am not comfortable with straight filmmakers telling us trauma stories. Other stories I could kind of deal with, but the trauma stories I think should be our own.
And it's a very, it's definitely, I'm glad you gave the trigger warning, because it's definitely, it made me cringe, the scenes that happened there. So it's very true what you say about who tells it really resounds, because it's a very impactful story.
It delves into themes of the other and how social differences create negative experiences. And that's very much Malik's experience, is that he is the other in this society, even so much more than Aaron. And I really kind of felt that actually worked really well and worked great for the story.
Definitely. I think there's some brilliant twists and turns with that kind of aspect of... was it really happening or was it not?
And that was definitely a question throughout the film. And, yeah, I really got into it. Needed to explore the intersectionality for the character of Malik. It certainly focused on him being gay, but he was also the only person of colour in this neighbourhood, which definitely would have had a big impact as well, and would have actually made that feeling of other much more substantial. And they really didn't play into that, I think probably because these are white people writing these characters, so they maybe don't understand that experience as well. So that would be my feeling, is that's what the story really needed.
Yeah, very true, definitely. And I was going to go into some other aspect of it that I thought, I was surprised what happened with a person of colour being there as well. True, definitely. Some different aspects weren't touched on.
Yeah, look, there's definitely some... Let's just say there's some experience for a sequel at the end. So Drags at points needed to focus on some of the story elements a bit heavier. The script, actually, even though I said it was a good script, it actually focused on things it didn't need to focus on, and ignored things we could have gone a lot more into, like the relationships with one of the neighbours, I won't say anymore. It kind of needed a lot more emphasis on that particular storyline, whereas they focused on other parts of the story and it didn't quite mesh, I don't think, and it didn't quite give you the feels.
Yeah, it was funny. Some bits they really brushed over quickly just to go, well, you know, the family's being picked on kind of aspect. It's not really a spoiler. But then other things they delved into and you're like, hang on, why are we here? And as I said to you, like, I had to stop at one point. I got a phone call and I went back into it and I seriously thought I'd missed, like, a point of the story. And I had to go back and rewatch some of it because I was like, how have we gone here? From here, it was just, that was probably the only thing I would pick on for it. I think overall, it definitely, for me, it kept me on the edge of the seat. It's not many things that can do that keep me attentive.
A bit of ADHD happening. I thought the ending was actually really good, but I've actually read some very different reviews on that ending. I really liked it because I think it actually didn't overplay it. It just was quite a subtle ending. It was explicit but subtle. It's kind of a bit of a contradiction. Did you like the ending?
Yeah, I did. Surprise, I haven't actually read the reviews on it and I should have had a look beforehand, but I like the way it ended because it didn't feel like it was a story that needs to keep telling. And, you know, so interesting that it got some bad reviews on that.
Yeah, it's not so much reviews. I actually posted in a forum on for LGBTI horror nerds. So in that forum, I asked for people's thoughts without giving my own because I didn't want to cloud what people are saying. One of the more interesting things I thought The end played straight out of the Hereditary playbook felt clumsy and tacked on. Now, I did enjoy the actors and the sets and the cinematography, the script, however, and more importantly, the plot needed work. I do agree the plot needed a bit of work, but mostly around what we've already talked about. But yeah, I actually did not like the ending of Hereditary at all. It actually destroyed the entire film for me. What did you want to say?
That's a shame. That was a good film too.
I really liked most of the film. I actually, up until about the 85% mark, I was like all on board. And then that last 15%, I felt just ridiculously cheated. But
it was obscure.
It wasn't so much as obscure. I'm going to spoil it slightly. But the floating headless body, I just felt was so tacky. And just that was the real moment I went, yeah. Nah.
fair enough.
But this ending, I thought actually didn't feel tacked on. It felt maybe a little bit rushed in that they could have explored it a little bit further, but I didn't feel it was tacked on. I think it actually worked perfectly.
Oh, it definitely felt rushed, but it was the type of movie where they had to string it out. And then that kind of caps the beginning of the next movie kind of thing. Like, yeah. That's what I felt.
They probably padded parts of this film they didn't need to and probably could have played a little more into the ending a bit more. Someone else said, I would love a queer horror movie where the characters are likable. I actually did like the characters.
Interesting.
I thought they were a nice couple and, you know, maybe parts a little bit stereotyped, but it was the 90s. Everybody was more of a stereotype in the 90s.
especially that kind of couple where the already daddy.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I kind of want to give this film a really solid score. I'd probably go for 8 out of 10. What about yourself?
Oh, okay. So, look, I'm gonna give a solid 7. Mm-hmm. Just because. I think maybe I should have not had a phone call in the middle of it, but yeah, that middle bit really sort of threw me. Definitely enjoyed it. Would recommend people who, you know, even just horror in general, that suspense horror where, you know, you don't see much, but it's all in the suggestion.
Yeah, I definitely think this has a little subtlety and it definitely needed a little more explicit, though. That's just sort of missing. But overall, I was really impressed with it as a piece of queer horror because I can't think of anything else I would even sort of say as a queer-led horror, it comes close to this one.
Very true.
All right, you are on Geeks Out. Next, we are going to chat about a retro review of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.